From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue this series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text is found in Psalm 29 and verse 2. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. God's glory is the result of His nature and acts. He is glorious in His character, for there is such a store of everything that is holy and good and lovely in God that He must be glorious. The actions which flow from His character are also glorious. But while He intends that they should manifest to His creatures His goodness and mercy and justice, He is equally concerned that the glory associated with them should be given only to Himself. Nor is there aught in ourselves in which we may glory. For who maketh us to differ from one another? And what have we that we had not received from the God of all grace? Then how careful ought we to be to walk humbly before the Lord? The moment we glorify ourselves, since there is room for one glory only in the universe, we set ourselves up as rivals to the Most High. Shall the insect of an hour glorify itself against the sun which warmed it into life? Shall the potsherd exalt itself above the man who fashioned it upon the wheel? Shall the dust of the desert strive with the whirlwind, or the drops of the ocean struggle with a tempest? Give unto the Lord, all ye righteous, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto Him the honor that is due unto His name. Yet it is perhaps one of the hardest struggles of the Christian life to learn this sentence. Not unto us, but unto Thy name be glory. It is a lesson which God is ever teaching us, and teaching us sometimes by most painful discipline. Let a Christian begin to boast, I can do all things, without adding, through Christ which strengtheneth me. Before long he will have to groan, I can do nothing, and bemoan himself in the dust. When we do anything for the Lord, and He is pleased to accept of our doings, let us lay our crown at His feet and exclaim, Not I, but the grace of God which was with me.
Worship you today.
If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubt, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? And how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it. As he continues these studies in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns is completing his exposition of chapter 12. The theme of the chapter is the believer's response to the gospel. In the preceding messages, Dr. Cairns emphasized the need for God's people to give their lives to the Lord in self-sacrifice, service, and separation from the world. As he continues to look at the passage, Dr. Cairns urges believers to serve the Lord, remembering what Christ has done for them, and seek to show that love to others by the way they live. We're called upon to apply the Bible's teachings to every area of life, whether in the church or among unbelievers. Now, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of this message entitled, Serving with a Savor of Christ.
I want to tell you, when you stand before God, I find, according to the words of Christ, that when God commends His people for what they did in His service, they are utterly amazed, and they say, Lord, when did we ever do any of these things? The only people who, according to Christ, go boasting to God about what they have done are people who are not saved, and they have nothing to boast about, but in the blindness and folly of their depravity, they have little views of the holiness of God, little views of the wickedness of sin, and therefore they can be comfortable in their so-called goodness, and God says, depart from me into everlasting. Lasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Believer gets before God and he cries, it's all of grace. It's all of Christ. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. That's the testimony of every justified believer on that glorious great day of judgment. Now, if you get solid views of the gospel, if you can really get a grip of what it is, the problem that God's gospel sets out to solve, if you can get a grip of the glorious solution to the problem that the wisdom of God has produced in the person and work of Christ, then from that point on, you will agree with Paul. The only possible proper response on the part of a Christian is to say, Lord, I yield my all to thee. Here am I. This is what Romans 12 is all about then. In verse 1, Paul is saying, yield yourself in sacrifice to God. In verse 2, he's saying, yield yourself in separation from the world. Now we come to verses 3 through 13. And he's saying, you yield yourself in the light of the gospel, in the light of all that God has done for you. Now let me emphasize, this is the argument. In the light of all that God has done for you in Christ, you yield yourself to Him for service among the saints. You don't serve in the church of Christ because the people around you deserve it. You don't serve in the church of Christ in order to make the pastor feel good. You don't serve in the church of Christ merely to fill the pews of a church building or to enact some program of a church committee. What we are learning here is you serve in the church of Christ as a response for what God has done for you in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the whole argument. Yield yourself in service among the saints. Now he starts in verse 3. I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you. I think you'll see that includes you and me. To every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure or a portion of the faith. Now the first evidence, or one of the first evidences of a transformed mind, of which verse 2 speaks, is a new attitude toward yourself. I'll get to verse 3 in a moment. But the very first thing that lies on the surface of verse 3 and all that follows down through verse 13 is this, that a Christian cannot properly think of himself any longer in terms of being his own man. I want you to understand that. We live in a society where people boast about I'm my own man. And I know there's a sense in which we may glory in that. We're not mere lickspittles or people who will bow the head and say yes no matter what's being proposed. But in the deepest sense, a Christian can't be his own man. Not only so, a Christian cannot properly respond to the gospel by living as a mere individual. There's an awful lot of Christians trying to cut themselves off. They want to be little islands. They are alone. Their families alone. They are little islands. And I'm telling you, that is a carnal and a fleshly and a worldly and a sinful response. The only proper response to the gospel is one that deals with the self. If we understand the gospel properly, we will know that it demands of us that we function as members one of another and of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, yes, you are you, and you are an individual, and you thank God you're not me. Well, we're different, but we're in the same body. And it's not enough for you to function in your way and I for me to function in my way. We function as members one of another, and we function together as members of the body of Christ. And let me tell you something, and it's very easy for me to say this. There's hardly a preacher in 100, and I'm talking about preachers now, and it's certainly true throughout the congregations of the churches. But there's not a preacher in 100 who can actually put this into operation. This functioning as a member of the body of Christ is our first earthly consideration. This comes before nationality. You can be as proud to be an American as you want to be. This comes before nationality. This comes before citizenship. This comes before business. This comes before family. Jesus spoke about the disciple having to be willing to hate father and mother for his sake. Now, of course, Jesus was not teaching that you're to be hating and hateful. But what he's saying is, when the decision comes, will it be blood ties, or will I be faithful to Christ in the service of his church? I will have no decision to make. I will put the Savior first. That's what he's saying. I have known preachers who are very good. They were more than a little like Eli. They're very good at making rules for other people. Eli could see Hannah praying. Her lips were moving. He couldn't hear a voice. He could jump to the conclusion that she was drunken. And he gave her a lecture on drunkenness without even giving her a breathalyzer test. Never even smelt the breath. Just lectured her on drunkenness. His own sons were living not only in drunken stupors. They were living in immorality at the very gates of the house of God. But you see, the ties of blood meant so much to him that, like many another preacher, he put his family before the church. I've seen that many a time, where preachers can be very, very hard in dealing with sin in other people's families. But man, when it comes to their own family, don't you dare touch them. No matter how wicked, willful, and wretched they are, don't you touch them. I've seen it in elders. I've seen it in church members. They're all right until you've got to deal with my family. My children are beyond the discipline of the church. My children are this, or my husband, or my wife. I want to tell you, when you put blood before the body of Christ, you're denying the gospel. I thank God I never had this dilemma, but I well remember when God called me into the ministry as a very young man. You can see that, for I've been preaching for 45 years, and some sarcastic person will say you would never know it, but I started very young. My mother was a foundation member of the church that I didn't grow up in it from way down, but from about 11 years old, I grew up, and most of what I learned in that church. She was a foundation member there. In many ways, it was a wonderful church to grow up in. In many ways, it was not. Every time it would get into blessing, there'd be some idiotic dispute where people would fall out with each other, and they would cause consternation and trouble. And I remember as I went into the ministry, before God I vowed, nobody had ever said a word to me about it. And my mom, thank the Lord, had never been anything but the friend and counselor of everybody in that church. I remember saying to the Lord, if the time ever comes
Well, in the church has to judge my own mother. By the grace of God, I will stand by God's word and God's church, and I will do what is right. I'm glad, and I say it to her honor and to her memory, that never did that situation ever arise. But that was the fixation of my heart. And that's what it's got to be. Before everything. You see, the picture that's being painted here of someone working within the unity of the body of Christ is one who believes the gospel and who's going to do everything in his power to build up the body of Christ, to maintain the body of Christ in unity, in community. There is a difference. The key to community is communion. It's the same word as fellowship. In charity. I wish I could take time to preach in those words. In charity. It's one of the hardest lessons to learn, is to deal with each other in charity. One of the hardest lessons to learn. See, I can speak from experience. I wish I could tell you honestly that what I'm telling is all theoretical, that I've seen it in other rascals and I've never felt it, that I've never been there. But honesty compels me to say that here I speak from experience, that my judgment of other people's attitudes, actions, intentions, meanings, or whatever, is so often colored by the way I'm already feeling. And that feeling has been caused by things completely outside of the control of the people that I may get mad at. When you get into that place, there is a feature, it's not a very attractive feature of human nature, but there is a feature of human nature that almost always comes through. And again, I plead guilty. I've been there and done that too many times. What I'm talking about is, if I'm in that frame of mind, there is a propensity to put the worst possible construction on what that other person has said or done or not said or not done. Or to take their words that could be taken quite innocently. I'm thinking of a minister at the moment who said something to a parishioner that in itself was innocuous and true, but taken and put into another set of circumstances by that man, deliberately knowing that it couldn't be true in that situation, and then broadcasting it, my minister's a liar. I want to tell you, brethren, that's not acting in the body of Christ. That's not the response of the gospel. The response of the gospel is to maintain and build up this body in unity, community, in charity. In charity. And in activity.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.